Hello, and welcome to Season 4 of Lightwork Presents Everything is Connected, where we share the interesting and inspiring stories of artists, critical thinkers, thought leaders, and art professionals on a wide range of topics about life, work, and our world. We share ideas on our inspirations and the influences that affect our lives. I'm your host, Fola Shadi Olukundudu, and I look forward to sharing the conversations I have with artists and creative professionals across the art industry and beyond. As I travel to art fairs, gallery openings, and events within the creative industries both in the U.S. and abroad, join me in discovering and learning about some of today's most interesting and dynamic artists and creative professionals. If you're new to the show, I'm happy to have you here. If you've been on this journey with me, welcome back. Let's get it. On this episode, I'm joined by Mario Moore. Mario Moore is a Detroit native. He received his BFA from the College for Creative Studies in Detroit, Michigan in 2009, and an MFA in painting from the Yale School of Art in New Haven, Connecticut in 2013. I met Mario late last fall in Detroit when I attended the DIA Gala and spent a weekend in the city checking out the art scene and meeting some of Detroit's key players. I also wrote a piece for Cultured Magazine on Detroit and some of the interesting things that are happening there this year. Stay tuned for a groundbreaking exhibition coming out of the DIA later this spring and Library Street Collective's cultural hub in Detroit's East Village as their new space, The Shepherd, is inaugurated. Moore's paintings focus on the personal, social, and political implications of our segregated society. Presenting stories of his own life and those of friends and family, Moore weaves in multiple references to art history, politics, and literature to complete his narrative. Listen in as we talk about some of the things that make Detroit such a unique city, the changes he's seen take place over the years, his time at Yale, and his love for painting. Let's dive into my next episode with Mario Moore. Mario Moore, so happy to have you join me on an episode of Everything is Connected. Really looking forward to chatting with you today.
No, I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited to talk to you, and thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. So let's jump right in. We met sort of officially late last year at the DIA Gala, got a chance to talk to you a little bit about your work and also celebrate Detroit and all of its incredible artists that evening and that weekend in general. And I kind of want to go back a little bit to just that first meeting and thinking about what's happening in Detroit, you being a native, but having left the city for some time and returned back. What's the energy like in Detroit these days?
I mean, for me, the energy now and even before I left is the same. And I think that's the thing I love about Detroit is the people that are here give out just a genuine, emphatic, loving energy. Like there's a certain kind of care in Detroit, right? There's a grit here too. You rub somebody the wrong way, people are not going to be nice to you. But at the same time, Detroiters are really giving. And I think as far as the artists here, the art world here, everybody just kind of works together in a really great collective way. And that was before I left, and it's still going on now. Of course, there's more, I guess, what we could say, art market, art world type of presence here today than it was before. And that's changing. But still, like, there's still the really giving Detroit kind of energy that there's care. There's a certain kind of care here.
Definitely. Just switching gears a little, that vibe, that energy, and how people will be real with you and not hold any punches, but also thinking about the commercial side of the art market kind of hitting Detroit, maybe in a particular way at this moment. You have Library Street Collective, you have galleries that have popped up over the last couple of years, but you also have galleries that have been around for some time. Would you say that there's like, what would you say is either kind of good and or potentially not good about that commercial side kind of being more of a fixture in Detroit right now?
Well, I think that there's two sides to it. One is Detroit is a place where, as an artist, you can kind of make anything happen. And what I mean by that is there weren't a lot of barriers on things that you can do creatively. Like, you could go in an abandoned warehouse and put together a show. You could, without expecting cops to come and get you or without the city council saying, no, we don't approve that, you could just do things, I think, in a really interesting and exciting way. And people would show up. people would really show up to support. There was a way in which if you needed assistance or you needed help from another artist, like they were going to give it without questioning. I think that the difference now is there's still some of that, but now that you have these established galleries that are also coming into the Detroit space, is it brings another kind of commercial presence within the city. And one thing that I'm often thinking about is I don't want Detroit to turn into a space where it's crabs in a barrel, where now all of these artists are trying to fight each other to be seen or these shows, or I still want that same energy to be here. So that to me is like the danger, like things that I saw in New York or other cities where it's like, I'm gonna get mine and I don't care about what's happening with you type of mentality. Yeah, I'm still hopeful that same kind of camaraderie energy kind of exists, even though these commercial galleries like Library Street and other spaces are coming into in Detroit and that have been here. The other good thing about those spaces coming is that it brings more light and shines a brighter light on Detroit, right? You're able to maybe have a show that now gets you eyes and spaces outside of the city. So you might have a write-up that ends up in the New York Times, or you might have a write-up that's in Hyperallergic. You're getting more for staying here in the city and you don't have to leave. I think that's one of the benefits of these spaces coming. But again, Detroiters have always made a way, no matter who's here or who's not here. Yeah, and I think that's going to continue.
Right. It sounds like from what you're saying that the people in the community that live in Detroit, however much that's changed over maybe the last couple of decades, that community is very resilient.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know so many great artists in the city, and I was actually just having this conversation with a friend of mine's mom, Sangor Reed mom, an incredible artist and elder in Detroit, Shirley Woodson Reed, and we were talking about this idea of how do you work and how hard Detroiters work, and with that, how hard the artists work. So she had a residency on the East Coast, maybe in the 90s or something. And I think the residency was like 2 weeks. So she was in her studio making her work. And all these other artists were going out having parties and doing all this other kind of stuff. And I think she might have been there like maybe 3 days. And some people came to her studio like, where'd you get all this work? And she was like, I made it. Like, I'm in here to make work. What are you talking about? You know, so I think that is just innate within Detroiters, especially if you're coming from a certain neighborhood, engaging with certain people. But yeah, I think Detroiters have always had.
I love that. And I think that's a perfect way to segue to the show that you, correct me if I'm wrong, late last year at the Cran Museum titled Skilled Labor, Black Realism in Detroit. Maybe you can speak a little bit about that show.
Yeah. That show actually came from me and the head curator at Cranbrook Museum, Laura Mott. And the concept and idea was her paying attention to the last 10 years of realistic art coming from Black Detroiters in Detroit. And again, thinking back to a friend of mine, Sangor Reed, we curated a show right before I went to grad school. This had to be in 2010, and it was called Great American Artists. And we had it showed at the Carr Center, and then it showed at the Charles H. Wright Museum when I was in grad school. And that pulled this collective of a lot of Detroiters together, basically artists who focused on realism in some aspect. But this show grew to be much bigger than even that one. And I think what was important about the show that we put together at Cranbrook was that it had a focus on not just the technical skill that comes into making something when we're dealing with realism in parentheses, but also the conceptual skill that it takes. It's not just, because when you think about the term skilled labor, it's usually used as less than somebody with a white collar job or something that's more intellectual. So for us, as we were putting together the show, it had more to do with thinking about the mind and the way that all of these artists use a conceptual framework to create their level of realism, whatever that is, and also keep it open where realism is not just a one-framed idea of a type of art, that it's very, very broad. So everybody's approaching it in a very different way, and they're all engaged with a certain kind of history from Detroit. So as you go throughout the show, and if you know, the book is still available, you'll see that there's some really entrenched thinking about being from Detroit and also engaging with the history of Detroit.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as we're on the call, just kind of talking through some things, I'm thinking about some of what I've read about your work. I'm pulling up on an article from Office Magazine from about 5 years ago, 20, and you're speaking a little bit about rest, and you're speaking a bit about American history and the ideas of how the Black male has been perceived over time in our society. And sometimes I get the feeling, this is not really a feeling, it's just a tendency to see the similar things over and over, you know, that sometimes Black artists are really pigeonholed into speaking about Black issues, but then thinking about like understanding the reality of what it means to be a Black person living in America and the conditions under which your life is subject to, and why is it continuously important in the present moment and, you know, in future moments to continue to speak on from a very honest standpoint your personal experience, but also the experience that you can lend a voice to that people in your community also go through. And so the question there is, what are some of your thoughts about why is it important to continue to be representative of your life, your personal experience, but also maybe the larger communities of which you are a part through your visual language and your artistic practice?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important because as any artist, right, when you make something, hopefully you're making it because it's something that you want to see, and hopefully you're making it because it's something you haven't seen before, and hopefully you're making it because you want to be engaged in a way that explores new ideas. I think that goes for anybody. And for me, what I see in art history and just art in general is I see so many pockets that need to be filled. And history is such a great resource for me to pull from all of these stories that have never been visualized or are lesser than known, and how do I pull that into the contemporary moment? So I don't really see it as a continual engagement with, I guess, Blackness in a way, right? Or even though it is, or a continual engagement with Black history, I see it as an engagement with lost stories and information about humanity that hasn't been told, right? And when you leave out those pockets of humanity and human stories, you're telling a certain kind of history about humanity. So when you leave out those pockets, you're also telling, especially in America, you're telling a certain kind of history about Black people. And often that history relies around derogatory and demeaning storytelling, derogatory and demeaning images, derogatory and demeaning ideas. So for me, if I find that there's a story of abolitionists that helped to free a Black couple with rifles and shot up a sheriff and pulled them out of jail, that's what I want to talk about. That's the exciting thing for me. Or if I find out that my great-grandma used to hunt in the woods with a rifle and then skin carcasses, animal carcasses. I'm interested in that because those are the things that we tend to look over or are not told. Those are the exciting things for me, right? Because I'm always looking for a level of engagement that's going to challenge me in my studio, but also excite me about something that I haven't seen before. And I think that's what keeps me engaged with realism to an aspect. But I'm also really interested in just the history of paint, right? For me, it's the narrative, it's the story, it's those pockets of human history. But it's also, how do you make a painting? Like, how do you put it together? The excitement about the material, like what's the oil that you're using? What's the texture? Can you see the paint? It's more about the materiality of the thing that brings the viewer in to see the story than it is about the story, right? And I think somehow what gets lost in translation is looking at stuff over social media, right? When you look at paintings online and feel that little box. But seeing a painting in person, I think, is also a very spiritual thing. Like if I'm looking at a Rembrandt and I'm like, yo, how did a human being put this together? I think it transitions into this otherworldly space. So that's what I'm interested in. And And I think as an artist who just happens to be Black, I'm interested in those stories that are missing.
Right. I love that. I really want to pull on, I mean, that was such a expansive response, and I really appreciate you for just kind of like digging in and being generous about how you're thinking about everything. But I really want to pull on the idea of the history of painting and sort of what a painting can do and how one approaches it. You know, as somebody who went to Yale, and we often sort of put institutions up at the pinnacle of the way that we think about hierarchical structures. And it's one thing to say you went to Yale. It's another thing to say you went to Howard. I mean, that's just the world we live in. Whether I agree or disagree with that statement is irrelevant, but how it's perceived by society is something that is like uncontested. So as somebody who, you know, went to Yale, studied, got your MFA there in 2013, what are some of the things today, and maybe what are also who are some of the artists today that, like, as that interest that you have in what can painting do and how can you maybe continue to experiment in your practice, are there certain schools of thought, are there certain sort of like art historical contexts that you think about when you're creating your work, and how are you trying to continue to push yourself and grow and experiment as a creator and as an artist?
Yeah, I think for me, when I'm thinking about painting and just the language and writing, and coming from a school like Yale, right, it has this almost like a mythology around it, you know, these days. But the artist and the work that I'm really engaged with as painting tells it. I consider Velázquez, Rembrandt, those artists some of the greats. And not simply because they're painting something that I can recognize, but it's more so the way that they're making their painting. And what I mean by that is you can look at a Velázquez, and when you get up close to it, the whole painting kind of falls apart, right? The abstracted forms become coherent as you step further back. And there's level of glazes and washes that do really, really incredible things with what seems like so little information. And I think for me, that's the most exciting thing, is like, I want to have evidence of the hand within the work. And I want the viewer to be able to see the hand. I want them to see, and I guess that also comes with being from Detroit, I want them to see the labor that it took to make this thing. So that for me is incredibly important. And thinking about other artists that I think engage with painting in a similar way, but have a very different style. One of the painters that I admire greatly, who I was in school with, is Jennifer Packer. And I think the way that Jen puts together a picture, her compositions, the way that the painting kind of falls into the background, there's so much happening between color choices and also the perception, the field of perception, right? Where you can feel like you're close to something or far away from something. Jen's paintings are really engaging in that way. And I think when you're at Yale, the main thing that they're, you know, kind of preaching to you is all conceptual, right? It's all conceptual, and it's all geared towards concept, aesthetic driven conversations, right? When I was there, they didn't want to talk about what is this painting about. They didn't want to talk about subject. That wasn't important. But how is the piece put together was probably one of the most important conversations that we would have, and crits and all that kind of stuff. And I also think as a Black artist, certain people are scared to engage with certain kind of history. So they would talk around subject matters, right? And it would go back to color and aesthetics and compositional choices. So for me, and thinking about that, and I think it's why I always harken back to thinking about what is this picture that I'm making and what is it about? And that doesn't mean that I'm trying to solve some kind of problem, right? I think as an artist, I'm supposed to ask the question, and the viewer is supposed to fill in that answer with whatever is in their mind. But I want to ignite the question in a really, really interesting way. And I think people like Velázquez, Rembrandt, and one of my favorite artists, Kerry James Marshall, engage the viewer in such a way that they pull you into the picture that they're making. So that's what's most exciting to me, is like, how do I pull the viewer into something? I almost want it to feel like the painting is asking you to kind of walk into its space, or if there's a figure within the painting, they want to come out and engage with the viewer in a certain kind of way. But yeah, for me, it's always, how am I laying that paint down? That's the most important thing. The secondary thing is the idea, is the concept, the story, history, but how that painting is put together is the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, what a way for you to dig in and dig deep into some of these thoughts that are really guiding the work that you do on a more holistic level. I think as you were describing that, I pulled up some of Jennifer Packer's work, and I haven't actually looked at it in some time, but I remember seeing her show at the Whitney that was curated by, organized by Rejeko Hockley. Shout out to Rejeko. And also came through with being initiated by Serpentine Gallery. And that show really introduced me to Jennifer's work for the first time as somebody who's really new to the art world. But to hear you speak about so many greats, Velasquez, Kerry James Marshall, and artists of the contemporary like Jennifer, it's really interesting to also think about how that education and how that way of being critical of the work and asking really deep questions, a continuous process of inquiring with oneself, what am I doing? How am I doing it? Am I pushing myself? Am I experimenting and trying new things? It sounds like, based on what you've shared with me, that those are questions that you're consistently asking yourself as you into the process of creating, as you approach painting as a practice.
Absolutely. I was just having a conversation with another artist, and I said, I'm so excited now in my studio because I have no idea what I'm doing. And what I mean by that is you have these series and you have these ideas, and then you create something and maybe that series ends, and then maybe you have 1,000 more ideas in your head. But I'm most excited about the idea of not knowing, because for me, that's when the level of engagement really gets really interesting, where I'm repeatedly asking myself, okay, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Or just letting things kind of happen, which is, I think, really interesting for me. I was also asking some older artists, you know, have you figured it out, right? There's the conversation that a lot of artists have, or whether it's a musician or a painter, where they say, like, I've read Dali's talking about it, Picasso, when they're in their like 80s and maybe early 90s, where like, I'm just getting it, right? And I think I'm at the stage where I have no idea. And that creates so much excitement for me, because the whole world and mind space is open for me to explore without having a certain kind of purview or a certain kind of story that I wanted to tell after finishing my most recent series about the early Detroit fur trade. And now I'm thinking about a level of grit and how to make the painting's more gritty, or how to move the paint in a certain kind of way to explore these, I guess, grand and also dangerous ideas. So I'm at a really good, exciting place in my studio because I don't know what's next.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really a wonderful place to be, right? Like on the precipice of the unknown. And I think as we kind of round out the episode and maybe ask a final question, I feel like this is a good place to kind of jump off and ask you, like, what keeps you coming back? What is that thing that keeps driving you?
I think it's, and this is going to sound really cheeky, almost like something that you hear artists say, but it's going back to the feeling you felt as a kid, mm-hmm. when you would get a pencil and paper and you would just draw. Or you would create in some kind of way. It's coming back to that mind space. Because for me, the point of going in the studio is to stay excited and stay engaged. Especially in this contemporary art world where now there's so many demands on Black artists to fulfill a certain quota.
Yeah.
Or we're in the kind of the highlight, right, Black art. And again, Black artists have always been making work since before everybody has a museum show. There's all exhibitions dealing with artists who happen to be Black. But it's going back to that thing that keeps you engaged and excited. And it's not falling into the pitfalls of the commercial platform of like your gallery, whether it's curators or people coming to you and say, hey, could you make another painting like that? Or can you make more of these? I want 4 of these, or I want 3 of these. No, that to me is like the death of an artist. So for me, it's about staying engaged in that childlike way, like staying excited with the unknown, and also going back to that moment, right, where you would sit down and maybe you had some crayons and a piece of paper, or maybe you had watercolor. Or maybe you didn't have any of those supplies. Maybe you had magazines and you would do cutouts and paste them together. whatever that is going back to that. Because that's the way for me to stay engaged and excited in this contemporary art world we live in.
Yes, beautiful. You know, Mario, this has been a great episode. It's given me an opportunity to know more about you and about your work. So just want to say thank you so much for a wonderful episode and for your time.
Michelle.
Okay, take care.
That was my episode with Mario Moore. I want to give a big shout out and a big thank you to Mario for joining me on the show.
And it's a wrap, folks. That was our episode of Everything is Connected, conversations on culture and current events with some of today's hottest creative contemporaries. These episodes are recorded remotely and on location wherever in the world I find myself, whether that be the US, Africa, Europe, the Middle East, the Caribbean, and more. Depending on where I am at the time of these recordings, you will hear the sights and the sounds of my local environment. I look forward to continuing these wonderful conversations with artists and creative professionals across industries with you. I'm your host, Folashade Ologundudu, and we'll see you next time. As always, stay motivated, stay inspired, and stay up. Peace and love, y'all. We out.